Hallelujah. I know. All right, here we go. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus 20, verse 12. This was not pre-planned. It's pretty awesome how the Lord works, but today we're on commandment number 5. And so before we go, let's go ahead and do what we do every week, right? As we're learning the moral code of God that we know is still intact. Let's repeat this together, right? So we can get it written on our heart. So here we go. Number 1. Number 2. Number 3. Number 4. Number 5. Number 6. Number 7. Number 8. Number 9. And number 10. Amen. Here we are on the 5th commandment in our study. And so it's not coincidence or by pre-planning that here we are on Father's Day diving into one of, if not the, most favorite commandment for all the parents in the house today. And it says this, honor your father and your mother. What we'll see as we dive in today on this 5th commandment is that there's a shift. As we've talked about, the very first 4 commandments are vertical, that stand for me and my relationship with God, right? And then the last 6 is my relationship with my fellow man, right, with brothers and sisters. Now, all 10, when we abide by them, are all God-honoring. And so today, here we are in this 5th beautiful commandment that we shall honor our father and our mother. So let's read it here at Exodus 20, verse 12. I'll be reading to you out of the CSB, and it says this. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is given you. And so here we are, the 5th commandment. It is not a suggestion, right? As we know that all these commands are directives from God. And here's what we want to grasp today is that when it comes to father and mother, when it comes to this first command about relationally, horizontally that is, to honor your father and mother, understand that God has placed parents in roles of responsibility and in roles of authority to love and to lead children. Amen. That since God defined the family and delegated authority to parents, when you and me, especially teenagers, right, here in the house today, when you choose to honor your parents, you honor God. When you choose to dishonor your parents, you dishonor God. And so as we grasp that today, we see that we have a command before God to honor our father and our mother. Why? Because God has chosen them to be God's own representatives in the home. And if you look across society today or in culture, the family has been under attack and will continue to be under attack. And the reason for that is because God has established the family, every family unit that is, as the main primary building block of a society. That the very fabric of our society that we live in is built on the family. So when you and I think of our families, and we think about families across, we must recognize that God established family as the number one institution of a society. We learned that in Romans, that there's 3 primary institutions that God established for society, for mankind here on the earth. The very first one was family. We see that in Genesis. And number 2 is government. We see that when Noah gets off of the ark. Established by God, ordained by God. Government's there to cultivate good and to punish evil. And number 3, the church. We see that in Acts. But family is the primary institution that God has established for society, the primary building block, the very fabric of a society isn't reflected on the school or even in the church house primarily. It's in your house and in my house. And so the training ground for our children doesn't take place in the school. It doesn't take place necessarily here in the church house. The training ground for our children is in our homes. Now, the way God would originally establish it is that family is to be built with one father and one mother who would work together to build a home that's loving and honorable for God, to train and to admonish the children in the Lord. Now, we also recognize that there are single mothers, right, who are the primary person who's responsible in raising up the children in their home. Now, no single mother is alone. No single mother is alone. Regardless of the circumstances that you may find yourself in, you're not alone. God is a defender of you and is with you. And so that is how a family is generally established from the get. To have a loving and stable home for family, mother and dad, or single mother, whatever your home is set up, you are there to raise and to bring up your children in the ways of the Lord. And God has a lot to say about relationship between parent and children and children and parent all throughout his very word. And so as we dive in to this fifth commandment, that we shall honor our father and our mother, I want to pray and ask God's presence to lead and to direct us on this Father's Day. So please join me. Lord, we come before you with humble hearts. Lord, we acknowledge today's Father's Day. We know that there's joys. We know that there's griefs. Lord, as we dive right into this fifth commandment, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will lead us, that you will guide us and direct us. We praise you, O Lord, and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. So here we go. So this fifth commandment can be a little bit challenging for us, especially when it comes to teaching it, when it comes to diving into it. And just like Father's Day, it can be very challenging. And depending on how you were raised or depending on your relationship with your earthly father sometimes, or your earthly parents, sometimes can dictate or determine, or maybe you can even filter a command like this through that relationship. Now, here's kind of where most people in society stand, right? If you and me grew up in a home where we had admirable parents, then when you hear the fifth commandment like this, you shall honor your father and your mother, it's easier to do when your parents are admirable, right? If you have admirable parents, then it's easy to of course, honor your father and your mother. Or maybe you have you're somebody who was raised in an adopted home or raised by someone else, maybe a family member, maybe adopted parents who came in and adopted you. It's easy to admire those who took you in to love you and to take care of you. But even when it comes to that, it's easy to show honor to adopted parents, but the challenge is, how do I stand when it comes to this fifth commandment to my biological parents who may have given me up? Maybe you have absent parents. What that means is maybe your parents died as you were young. Or maybe today you're a young person whose parent has passed from this earth and they're absent in your life. Or maybe you're being raised by a divorced family or was raised. Maybe you had a mom and dad who abandoned you. Or maybe you dealt with them physically being there but still absent. So the question would be, how are we supposed to apply this fifth commandment, thou shalt honor your father and your mother, when you have parents who have been absent? Thirdly, of course, maybe you have abusive parents. Not only physically, maybe emotionally. The question would then come, how in the world am I supposed to honor my father and my mother when I have parents like that? Or when I've had parents like that. Maybe you're a grown child today. Maybe you're married, you have a family, and maybe your parents still want to try to treat you like a child. Do you see how depending on how you were raised, or maybe how you're raising those in your home, how when it comes to this fifth commandment, thou shalt honor your father and your mother, how it could be challenging for some? Now, here's the beautiful thing, is that God has an answer whether you were raised in an admirable home where you have admirable parents. God has an answer if you were raised in an adopted home, as we've talked about, or if you had absent parents, even if you were dealing with abusive parents, even if you're a grown-up and your parents are still trying to control you. God has an answer on how we are to respond to that. And here it is. Thou shalt honor your father and your mother. And so, let's dive into this for just a moment. Honor your father and your mother. When it comes to that word honor in the Hebrew is kabed or kabid. What that means is to make heavy. It means a weightiness, and back then it had to do with precious stones or metal, kind of like how we do now. If you have a diamond and you put it on a scale, depending on how heavy it is, determines its value or its worth. And so this command coming from God to the people, he's saying, honor thou shalt honor your mother and your father and your mother. Honor means to kabed, to make heavy appreciation, to make them more valuable than they are. A heavy appreciation of parents. It's not a suggestion, it is a command. Now the opposite of making your family, your parents heavy would be to make them lightly, to diminish their importance. But this commandment that says, thou shalt honor your father and your mother, there's no clause there, only if they're admirable, only if they're present, only if they're worthy of honor, only if they've never made a mistake, only if they've just been, you know, the model of dad and the model mother. God says, thou shalt honor your father and your mother, to hold them with a very important value, a heavy appreciation. And so the question, as we said, what happens if they're not admirable? Then what? Well, we must choose to honor them. Why? Because honor is not earned. Look at your neighbor and say, honor is not earned. Honor is not earned, it's commanded. So we honor those, our father and our mother, not because they've earned it. We honor them because it's commanded. Even our flawed parents are to be honored. Why? Not because of their perfection, but because of their position. As God has created every father and every mother, and regardless of how amazing they were or are, or the opposite, God chose them to be yours and to be my delegated authority and to be his representatives on earth. And because of that, we honor them. Not because of their perfection, but because of their position. Amen? So honor, this very first, there's three words that I'm going to look at. There's three angles that you can take this fifth commandment, and that's the first one. Now, when you think about Bible stories and you think about, you know, parents that aren't necessarily worthy of honor and we still have to choose to honor them, what are some biblical examples? Well, if you know your Bibles, you can think about Noah, right, in Genesis 9, when he has all his family and they're on the ark and they've been out at sea for over a year. I know it says 40 days, but if you read the account, it's over a year. And when they finally dock, you know, the first thing that Noah does is he gets out of the boat, he goes, he plants a vineyard, and he goes and gets wasted. I mean, the very first place in the Bible where you hear wine and drunk is in Genesis 9. And what Noah does is he passes out and he takes off all his garments, and he's just in his tent, completely naked, passed out drunk. Doesn't seem like a very honorable father. But the story shows that there's three of his sons, right? If you want to read about it, you can. It's in Genesis 9. But it's Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now, Ham goes in. He sees Dad, who's 600 years old, and he sees him how he is. And he goes to his brothers, and he mocks his dad. He makes fun of his dad. But the other two brothers, Japheth and Shem, they listen, and they go get a blanket, and they go into the tent backwards, the word says, and then they cover their father without looking at him and mocking him. Now, when Noah sobers the next day, he realizes what has happened, and he curses his son Ham for the way that he dishonored him and made fun of him and shamed him. But then he blessed his other two sons. And so what do we learn from something like that? Is that even though our parents may be flawed, even though our parents may make mistakes, we have a choice to shame them, to mock them, to embarrass them, or to show them grace. And to a degree, almost cover them. Out of love and out of honor and out of respect. Even when they don't deserve it. And because of that, God blesses that. You can look at Jacob and his son Joseph in Genesis 47 through 50. I mean, Jacob basically allowed, enabled Joseph to be betrayed and to be suffered and to be sold and all this stuff. But as you read through the story of Joseph, he still honored his father, Jacob. He even welcomed him to Egypt. When he died, he still fulfilled all his wishes. His dad sold him, basically, enabled it, turned his back on him. But Joseph still chose to honor his father, Jacob. And because of that, God blessed him. You can look at Solomon and Bathsheba. Bathsheba had an affair with David. Solomon was birthed. He could have shamed his mom. Solomon still chose to honor Bathsheba. You can look at Isaac and Abraham. We all know the story of Isaac and Abraham. As Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain, was going to kill his own son. Many people look at that story and say, well, praise God that Isaac didn't kill his son. But what we talked about this past week in men's prayer, Jerry and I, is, hey, Abraham actually killed Isaac. In the story, the knife didn't go through him, but he chose in his heart to slew his son out of obedience to the Lord. But yet you still see how Isaac honored his dad. You have spiritual sons, right? Samuel, Eli, David, Saul, the list goes on. Why do I share all those things? Because even when we have imperfected parents who miss the mark, we still must honor them. Why? Not because of their perfection, but because of their position. Amen? Amen. I think about myself for just a second. I dealt with abandonment. Biological dad, 2 years old, raised by a stepfather. Hated that man, right? We had some challenges with my mother. Dealt with abandonment. Hated her. My stepdad, same thing. I hated that man. I hated all of them. These people are the delegated authority and chosen representatives that are supposed to raise me and my siblings, and they did this. And I'm supposed to honor thy mother and thy father? What mother? What father? If you've been raised in that kind of environment, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But then something happens when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, where God begins to work in your heart and you start to see that they're human beings just like I am. And it takes more work to hold on to bitterness and anger and hatred than it does to offer forgiveness. Because on the other side of your breakthrough, if you're holding something against your family, could be on the other side of your unforgiveness and your bitterness and your hatred that you may have towards one of your family members, by holding on that, you may be hindering their breakthrough. So when you choose to forgive, when you choose to honor and love, not because of their perfection, but because of their position, and you release the gift of forgiveness, then it puts their heart in a position where God can bring breakthrough, redemption, restoration. And that's what we experienced in my family. I'm not saying my family is your family. I'm not saying my story is your story. But I know the power of forgiveness. And so when we're here and we're thinking about this and having hate towards family, depending on position or depending on, you know, how you were raised, there's two things that help me, and I'm going to give them to you. If you can even relate to a little bit, if you didn't have perfect parents, okay? Or maybe you're a teenager today and you don't have the perfect parents. There's two things that help me break free, okay? I found forgiveness with my mother as a young man, all right? She got saved, got baptized, born again. Man, you're serving the Lord. Come on with it. I'm proud of you. And I always tell her, Mama, I can't wait until you pass, not because I'm not going to see you, but because you're going to be able to see your Creator face to face, and you're going to experience the fullness of joy. And I look forward to that day, right? I got peace with my stepdad as a young man. Same thing. As my biological father, I got peace with him on the south end zone when Lubbock High played Plainview High in 2019. We were down there, we got to talk, and I walked away and God showed me I was still holding on to stuff, and I offered that man forgiveness, and I've been free since. Amen? Why? Because I was reminded of two things, and here it is. Write it down if you have anything in your heart, okay? There's two things that I want you to remember. Number one, it's out of Psalm 68:5. And it says this. There's two things. Here's the first one. Psalm 68:5. It says this. God in his holy dwelling is a father to the fatherless and a defender or a champion of widows. Here's what I knew all along. Although my biological father had abandoned, although I had struggles with my stepdad, some of you may have your father here still absent. Let me tell you something. God is a father to the fatherless. And so although my earthly family was absent, God was fathering me this whole time. Amen. So God is fathering you right now if you're dealing with anything there. And number two, to keep myself from being a slave to hate, to being a slave to being bitter, to being a slave to constantly murdering them, okay, in thought, as Jesus said, or if you have it in your heart, I remembered this. I, at the very least, I can show my biological mother and my biological father honor. Because God used those people to bring me into this world. Amen? And that alone is freeing. Amen? Gosh, praise God. Isn't that good? At the very least, I recognize that God has been my father. And number two, at the very least, I can honor them, forgive them, release them, right? Because it's them that God would have chosen to give me life. So I recognize their worth. And I honor them with grace. Amen? So if God has spoken to you, because you have some of that, let's take care of our business today. Amen? All right, so there's two angles. The first one is honor. We see that right there in Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt honor your mother and your father. Honor, Hebrew word, kabed, make weighty, right? Here's the other angle that I want to show us real quick. It's in Leviticus 19:3. It's similar, but he uses a different word. Leviticus 19:3, it says this, each of you is to respect his mother and his father. You are to keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. All right? Now here, this word respect in the Hebrew is yare. It's a different word than what Exodus uses. Exodus uses kabed, right, to make weighty. But here, Leviticus. Each of you is to respect his mother and his father. The word respect is yare, okay? Now, yare means to show reverence, okay? To stand in awe of your mother and your father. Here's what this means modernly. A generation ago, young people respected mom and dad, all right? And young people knew, if you got it at home, you're going to get it from your grandparents too, okay? Even if grandma's 4 foot nothing, boy, she can, So yada, respect. We're to respect our parents. Amen? Young people, respect your parents. Because when we choose to honor our parents, we honor God. Young people, when you choose to respect your parents, you respect God. Amen? So children are to respect their parents. How do I respect them? By the way that you talk to them. By the way that you talk to them. You look them in the face. You have a conversation with your parents. You listen to them when they tell you something. And you respond. They ask you to do something, you respond. Right? We teach Kid City right away, all the way with a happy heart. We don't sigh. We don't mock our parents and make fun of them. We don't stomp our feet. We don't trash talk them behind their back. You don't ignore them, and you certainly don't roll your eyes at them. My grandma used to say, if you roll them eyes, boy, they're going to get stuck in the back of your head. But here, Proverbs 30:17, God has something to say about rolling eyes. I just want to show you this real quick. Proverbs 30:17, it says this. As for the eye that ridicules a father and despises obedience to a mother, may ravens of the valley pluck it out and young vultures eat it. So if you're going to be rolling them eyes and there's ravens and vultures, you might want to close your eyes because they might be coming for you. Amen. This one got me, Proverbs 20:20. It says this, whoever curses his father, it's going to be on the screen, Proverbs 20:20, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in deep darkness. I don't know about you, but I don't want my lamp going out in deep darkness. So what that means, whoever blesses his father and his mother, your lamp's going to shine. So bless your mother and your father, amen? Amen. Parents, you're not off the hook. Here it is when it comes to respect, okay? When it comes to respect, man, we talked honor, now we're talking respect. Parents, you are the parents. Look at another adult and say, you're the parent. That's it. All right, you are the parent. You run the show. You run your home, not your children. Somebody say amen. Amen. God gave you the authority. God gave you the responsibility. He didn't give the authority to the children. Amen. Here's the key. If you renounce your role as their authority and you refuse to be their loving disciplinarian and you end up having children who are dishonorable, who are disrespectful, it's not on them. It's on you and it's on me. Amen. When we choose to renounce our role as mom and dad, when we fail to train our children on how to respect, then what we ultimately are cultivating is a generation of children who will grow up and not respect you. They will not respect their teachers. They will not respect their coaches. They will not respect their bosses. When they get married, they will not respect their spouses. They will not respect their neighbors. They will not respect the law. They won't respect the country. And ultimately, they won't even respect themselves or God. If you choose to parent passively, this is the result that we get. When you look at the school system, you can even look at local school. When you see a bunch of unruliness and you see a bunch of disrespect, many of you are educators, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we want to get on the kid. Look at the parent. Amen? Because it's a responsibility and the role of the parent. That's how God has created it. Amen. As far as disciplinarian, you do it out of love. You don't do it out of anger. I'm not saying go abuse your children. Okay, that's wrong. It's unlawful. Don't do that. But you are their disciplinarian. Amen? Amen. So when we enforce respect, yare, we teach our children to fear us out of love and reverence, to understand our role as mom, as dad, single mother, stepfather, whatever it is, then ultimately, we get the opposite of that list. All right? So if you're a parent here today, you're not supposed to be their best friend. Amen? There's other adults if you need a best friend. Don't be best friends with your children. We're not supposed to be negotiators. Amen? Amen. I'll tell you what, there's some parents that are like awesome negotiators with their children, and I'm not knocking you down. I am saying, though, anytime like when police get dispatched and they have to do hostage negotiation, like there are some parents who could probably negotiate better than trained professionals. You know what I'm saying? Because you get field training with our kids, you know? Another bad joke, all right? I've been a negotiator with my kids, all right, at times, and they certainly are not to call you bro or bruh. If I called Grandma Anita bro back in the day, oh my goodness. She would have hit me so hard her teeth would have fallen out. You know what I'm saying? God. Guess that's all, bro. That's your mother, that's your father. Amen? But do whatever you want. It's your house. You're responsible for the Lord. So parents, be worthy of honor. Live in such a way that you make it easier for your children to honor you. Amen? All right, so two words, honor, respect. And here's the last one. This is New Testament, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. It's our last passage. It says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Number two, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may have a long life in the land. Verse 4, fathers, do not stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Here's another word, obey. So three angles that we see, right? Honor your mother and father, the word honor, okay? And then Leviticus 19, that says to respect mother and father. And then here in Ephesians, it says obey your parents. All right, so three different words, three different meanings. Obey here is the Greek word. Now that we're in the New Testament, remember Hebrew, Old Testament, Greek, New Testament, is hupakuo, two words. Hupa is under, kuo is listen. All right, so he's saying, children, listen under your parents, or listen under the authority of your parents as unto the Lord. Amen? Now, if your parents are telling you to do something that's against the word of God, you don't have to do it. For instance, if they say, hey, go rob a bank, we need more money, you shouldn't do that. But if they say, go clean your room, you can't say, show me where that's in the Bible. All right? And if you roll your eyes, you better watch out for the vultures, because they're coming, boy. Now you know that if you're batting your eyes, it's not because you're giving attitude, it's because you're looking out for the vultures, all right? But we should obey. When we obey our parents, we obey God. Amen? All right, so there you go. Children, here's your three words, okay? And children can be, you know, little to still living in your parents' house. This fifth commandment for you is simply this, okay? Honor your parents. Respect your parents or your guardian. And thirdly, obey them. And when you choose to honor, when you choose to respect, when you choose to obey, you're ultimately honoring God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're an adult and you're grown already, but your parents are still alive, what's your position when it comes to this fifth commandment? All right? If your parents are still alive, you are still to honor and respect your parents. All right? You do not have to obey them, because now your obedience is completely and solely to the Lord. Now, you should receive counsel from your parents, wise counsel, that is. But parents, if you have grown children and you're trying to tell them what to do and they don't take your advice and do it, you can't be mad at them because they're called adults. You can still give counsel, but ultimately it's hands off, and now they are accountable before the Lord as adults. Amen? Amen. Let's see. Parents. Also, if you're an adult today, forgive your mom and dad if you're holding anything. Speak well of them. If they're gone and they've passed, honor their legacy. Share stories about your parents to your children. And we see a model that Jesus did when he was hanging on the cross with John. One of the final words that he said when he was hanging is he looked down to John, and he cared about Mary because he said, you know, mother, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. In other words, as an adult man, he still knew the responsibility to oversee his mom. Joseph passed. We don't have really a whole lot of information about Joseph and his passing, but we do see that Jesus still honored his mother to make sure that she was still being taken care of. So for us as adults, we still have a responsibility to take care of mom and dad. That doesn't mean let them live in your house, okay? That's why I have a 3-bedroom. I'm not getting any more rooms, all right? But whoever the caretaker is, or if you take them in, we see it modeled by our Lord and Savior that we still have a responsibility to take care of our parents. And when we do that, we honor God. Amen? Amen. Would you please stand? Worship team, y'all can come on out. So there's a as they're getting set up, I do want to share this. Okay, it's Father's Day. Why not? It says, verse 4, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And so here's my question for you and for me, Dad, on this wonderful Father's Day. Yes, we have a responsibility with our children, right, when it comes to honor and respect and obey, okay? We want our children to do this, and they need to listen to us, and they need to, all this stuff. And mom and dad, or single mom, single dad, whatever the case is, you're the primary responsibility in your family. Understand that the primary building block of a society is our family unit. But here in the New Testament, let's just say, we forget the Old Testament, New Testament. I'm a New Testament dad. Okay, great. Well, here's a passage of scripture for you, New Testament dads. On Father's Day, you see here at Ephesians 6, verses, you know, in Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. It doesn't say mama. I know some of you have absent father and mother. You've had to step into that. But I'm calling out the fathers today on Father's Day. Well, the word is, here's the question. How are you doing, Dad? When it comes to raising your children to be honorable, respectful, and obedient people in your home, your wife has your last name, your children have your last name. So how are you doing, Dad? Are you an admirable father? Are you one of those who stepped in and you're raising children that aren't your own? Are you an absent father? Maybe not involved in your children's life? Well, make it right today. Maybe you're there physically, but you're gone physically. Maybe you're there physically, but you're absent. Are you abusive? Remember, God said, you train them up. So how are you doing, Dad? Are you their role model? Or are you a model just filling a role? What does that mean? A role model, you see him, you feel him, you talk to him. Man, you're the real deal. You're my role model. A model playing a role is you just going through actions. Just a model going through the motions, playing the role as dad. Be a role model. Amen? You can start today. There's a promise that's in your hands, Dad. It says this, that it may go well with you. It's for the children. You have a role to play in that it may go well with you when it comes to our children. If we're absent and we're not fulfilling the role as dad, then don't expect it to go well with you as a blessing of stability and favor and peace in the life of your children, because that blessing flows through you. That you may live long. This doesn't say that children that pass early, that they were dishonorable to their parents, that's why God took them home. That's not what that means. It's talking about the quality of life. So step up today, Dad. Give yourself a gift on Father's Day. to live in such a way, a worthy way, that is, to be called Father. Because ultimately, you're an image bearer of the Father that's in heaven. So to the degree, when it comes to training, to the degree that you're allowing yourself to be trained before the Father is to the degree that your children are following behind you and they're receiving the training that you're receiving the training. But if you're not being trained, if you're not being discipled, if you're not following the Lord, then how in the world do you expect your children to follow you? That's called the blind leading the blind. So I pray today, if you're a dad, I just want you to put your hand on your heart right now. Just have children. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I pray in the name of Jesus that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. That you would recognize that there are men all around you that wish they could have children, and for whatever reason, they can't. But you have children. Now train them. Be present in their life. In the name of Jesus. They get a glimpse of the Father through you and through me. Amen? So take a stand today. If you're willing to take a stand and to make a commitment to be the father that God has called you to be, I want you to say amen. Amen. Say it like you mean it. Amen.
Amen.
Say, God, here am I. Say, God, here am I. I'm ready. Amen. Guys, lead us in worship. We'll bless everybody, and then we'll continue. Amen? And I want to ask us as a body of believers that we recite the Lord's Prayer together to show honor and to show love towards our Father. Amen? So let's say together, our Father who art in heaven. Let's do that again. One, two, three. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we love you so much, and we bless you today on this Father's Day. We thank you for being a good Father. We thank you for always loving us, for always following after us, for always raising us up, being faithful to us. Lord, we testify that your goodness has been all over our lives. So we bless you today, Father. Lord, if there's anybody here who's never stepped out in faith to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, to receive you as their Father, I pray that today be the day. Lord, bless all these men. Bless all of us dads today on Father's Day. That it would be your joy that leads us to repentance. That we'd stand firm and we continue to move forward as your chosen representatives in our house. God, bless every family unit here. Bless those that are online. Let all that we do, Father, always bring honor and glory to you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, and hallowed be thy name. We bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all his church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Prayer team, stick around. If you need prayer, please come get prayer. If not, happy Father's Day. We love you, and we'll be with you next week.